Hello, and welcome to Orientation and Mobility, brought to you by OWL Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Center. I'm Shirley Crandall, and for the next half hour, I will be interviewing Renee Perez, who is our Orientation and Mobility Specialist here at San Antonio Lighthouse. So tell me a little bit about your background.
Hi, Shirley. Well, thanks for having me today. I've been fortunate to work with the Lighthouse for the past 7 years, in which I've served numerous roles as an independent living skills trainer, assistant manager of the seniors program, and now a certified orientation mobility specialist and the orientation mobility program manager.
That's great. We have been happy to have you and all of your expertise. What caught your interest in pursuing orientation and mobility as a certification in school?
So during my time with the Lighthouse in my early years serving as an independent living skills trainer, I really enjoyed the connection making with people in trying to make them as independent as possible, do daily living skills, and I just wanted to do more. And as I reached out and saw orientation and mobility specialists and what they do, I immediately knew it was something that I wanted to do.
Nice. So tell me about your training. Where did you go to school?
So I completed my undergraduate at Texas Tech University and my master's program also at Texas Tech University, master's in special education and a certification in orientation and mobility. During that 2.5 years of training, I spent about 350 hours under blindfold and learning about the numerous portions of the eye and different services available to the visually impaired.
So you have a lot of hours under blindfold experiencing, navigating, using the tools that you train on yourself. Tell me about how that experience was for you.
To be honest, it was a frightening yet eye-opening experience, but it makes you humbled. It really makes you appreciate what someone who's visually impaired is going through. It just gives you a better appreciation and a better understanding of the day-to-day living of someone who's living with little to no vision. And it just really helps you. It helps you walk in their shoes and really understand what they're going through.
So the Adults and Seniors program offers orientation and mobility training. When someone is a consumer of ours, we will go into their home and provide 3 to 5 separate 1-hour sessions. So kind of take me through a set of sessions with a consumer. How would that look?
Sure. So first and foremost, our orientation mobility starts with an assessment. And during the assessment, we learned of this, the struggles, the concerns, the goals. And we really come up with a plan that's tailored to the senior or individual seeking the orientation mobility training. Lessons can be several different means. They can be learning how to use sighted guide, walking with someone who's sighted, learning protective techniques to protect yourself from hanging things or protruding objects, learning routes to and from workstations or in schools or at home, learning how to use a white cane, learning how to navigate in public, learning how to use transportation. The list goes on and on, so it's pretty exciting.
That's great. And I hear that you will meet people at locations that they go to frequently, so whether that's their workplace or somewhere they volunteer. So if someone were to meet you in that situation, what are the goals in helping them to navigate that space?
Absolutely. So we not only do training on site in a facility, which is here at the Lighthouse, we also, as you mentioned, provide training in the home community. We feel that people spend most of their time in their homes and in their local communities, and they feel most comfortable. So the object is to keep people as independent as possible. And by doing so, the orientation and mobility training can help them navigate their daily routes or learn the layout of their environment or learn how to get to the game room in their local independent living center or senior center. So the focus is mainly on safety and independence.
So what is some of the feedback that you've had on that after someone's been through the training and maybe they were a little scared to go navigate somewhere like to their game room or maybe their mailbox and now they're having success? What is their feedback for you?
I think people just don't know what they're capable of until they actually go through the training. And many people are actually surprised by how much they're able to do despite being visually impaired. So essentially, orientation mobility training opens the door to freedom, to independence, and just living that everyday life that they once did.
So if someone is listening and they're just really apprehensive, you know, they know they can't see well, they're maybe fearful of being self-conscious if they trip and they feel that they would be embarrassed, or, you know, obviously afraid of falling and being injured. So how would you encourage that person to just give it a try and try to be successful with it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think O&M, orientation mobility, is a super vital and helpful service. And to start, I would just say, give it a try. Be open-minded and try to introduce yourself to the techniques and trainings that are offered, such as using a white cane, such as learning using how to use the senses to navigate and learn about your environment. I really do think orientation mobility really gives you that independence that you're looking for, or you're missing, or you're just hoping to get again.
That's great. Our goal with all of our programs is to increase independence, and of course with yours, to prevent falls and keep people safe. We do work a lot with seniors, so they maybe are not all able to use a long white cane. So what types of tips and tricks can you provide with a support cane, wheelchair, or walker for someone who's visually impaired?
Sure. As part of the assessment, that's one of the things that we ask, is if they're using a walker, wheelchair, crutches, any type of mobility device. And we really want to tailor our training to the use of those devices. So obviously someone is using a walker, wheelchair, because they have a physical disability. So we know that it's a very important piece that they need. But we can introduce and incorporate the use of the long cane or support cane in addition to the use of those walkers and wheelchairs. So essentially they're working together to be as independent and safe as possible.
Is there someone who just might not be a good candidate to learn any type of cane skill? And in that case, what would be your suggestion?
So I think it's important for someone to understand their vision loss and accept their vision loss. I'm not visually impaired, so I don't quite understand the transition that it takes to go from being sighted to losing sight. So I do understand it's probably a very hard transition. But I would say the individual has to be open to the idea of cane training and realize, hey, my vision is pretty bad off, so I need to do something about it. But I encourage everyone to give it a try. You don't know what you don't know until you try it.
What are some of your most frequently asked questions regarding orientation and mobility?
That's a good one. Well, especially with men, they often think that using a cane you're seeing as weak or a target. And I absolutely disagree. I think the cane serves many beneficial and helpful purposes. And I think that if anything, it's a tool to add to your toolbox. So I just really encourage the use of the cane, trying it out. And it really does not only allow you to stay safe, but it allows the community to know that you are visually impaired, and most often they'll either help you or get out of your way.
And that's definitely something that bears emphasizing and repeating, is most people are going to see that and either want to help you or, at the very least, just be courteous and move themselves a little farther from you so that you're not something that they tap into when they're walking along. I had someone share with me once who is visually impaired that she will sometimes, when she needs assistance, put her dark glasses on inside, and someone will invariably come up and say, could I help you with something? And she'll say, yes, could you reach this or could you read that? And she says, I used to kind of feel like I didn't want to be a burden and interrupt someone's day, but she said, think about a time that you've helped someone and you go away feeling good. So she says, I get to do that for people, so why not? It's kind of a win-win. So along with the cane, you are using the cane to keep yourself safe and increase your mobility, but again, someone just seeing you use that cane is going to reciprocate and either be helpful or at least move out of your way and be helpful in that way. So that's definitely a point in the favor of using the cane. What are some really good questions or thought-provoking questions you've been asked during training with a consumer?
Everyone's always wondering, is a car automatically going to stop just because I'm using a cane? Is a cane going to serve the same purpose as a guide dog? So I think that people are they're very hesitant to put their full trust in the cane. But with time, I think that it's something that they definitely overcome and get better with. The more they use it, the better they feel about it, and so on.
So do you have consumers, because I understand that we only offer a training for a short time, do you have consumers that you see kind of over the years and they add to their skills over time?
Yeah, absolutely. I think initially most people are okay with just a few sessions, maybe 3 to 5 hours. But people become more confident. They start to venture out more. They start from learning just how to get around in their home environment to learning to navigate a mall or wanting to go to the library or going to church again. And that's what we want. We want people to become more confident, more independent, more social, get out more. So it's been really cool to see that transition in people from wanting to learn more skills and get out there more. So, yeah.
So it's really just like learning any skill. Lessons are good and you need to take those lessons, but then you also need to have the time to just practice those skills. And then once you practice them, that confidence builds up and allows you to learn more and more. So it's really a process. It's not, oh, I've learned it, I've had the sessions, and now that's it.
Absolutely. It's ongoing. You're always learning. You're always looking to do better. Repetition, repetition, practice, practice. Like a pro athlete, they don't get good overnight. It's practice, 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 repetition, repetition. The more you use it, the more consistent you get, the better off you feel, and the more comfortable you are with it.
What are some of your top tips for consumers learning orientation and mobility skills?
Be open-minded. Know that the cane is powerful. Know that the cane can really help you on your journey to becoming independent. Additionally, just trusting in the cane. The cane serves many purposes. One, it serves identification, as we talked about earlier. It lets others know that you are visually impaired. Two, it provides safety, so it allows you to feel for steps or objects in your path. And it allows you to gather information in your environment. So you can feel if there's sidewalk or grass or curb, street, gravel. It's just a really helpful tool that people can use. And I do think that people should, commit to it. It's one thing to receive the training and the cane sit in the corner in your house because you're afraid to use it or you're hesitant or you're worried about what people are going to think. Fully invest in the cane. It's got many great purposes and many useful benefits that it can help with. Just practice, be consistent, and make it your buddy.
So, if someone has, like you say, maybe put the cane in the corner and now they're haven't used it for a while, haven't practiced, and they're apprehensive, reach out. Give us a call or call your local lighthouse for orientation and mobility skills. Brush up on those, get some more skills, and get out and practice that independence. That's definitely very important. So, and even if you've had a few sessions already and learned some things, don't hesitate to reach back out to build on those skills and learn more and become more independent. So, let's talk about another topic related to orientation and mobility. So, sighted guide was something that you mentioned earlier in talking about visiting with your consumers. Tell me a little bit more about sighted guide.
Yeah, so sighted guide is a technique of using a family member, a caregiver, someone who is sighted to get to where you want to go. They not only help serve as your eyes, but they help keep you safe. And sighted guide training can be done with a caregiver in the home. We can go out and send a mobility specialist to the home, show you the skills needed to use a sighted guide, but also allow your caregiver or family member to feel confident, comfortable, and help, but not feel like they're taking over and doing everything for you. We want you, the blind or visually impaired individual, to still be in control. And the sighted guide, although it's helpful, can sometimes try to take over, but we just want to let you know that you're still in control as a visually impaired individual.
So, as a sighted guide, what is the best way to direct the person that you're guiding for?
So I think starting with the basics, being descriptive as possible, is always helpful. When you're giving someone directions, as sighted people, we're always quick to say, it's over there, it's over here, it's in front of you. But you have to remember, when speaking to a blind or visually impaired individual, it's best to be as descriptive as possible. So you can use words like to your left, to your right, to your 2 o'clock, to your 1 o'clock. I feel the more information that the visually impaired individual has, the better off they'll be. In regards to technique and grabbing onto the visually impaired individual, usually you can grab on just above the elbow and be following along with a sighted guide that way.
So the sighted guide would be in front and the visually impaired person would be holding on the back of the guide's elbow.
Correct.
Okay. And are there other ways that people like to be guided?
Sure. For taller people, they sometimes like to hold on to the shoulder of the guide who's most likely shorter than them. But you can also modify your grip and techniques. For example, an older individual might grab the wrist of the mobility specialist, or a child might grab the wrist of the mobility specialist or caregiver, just because it's easier, safer, and just a bit more comfortable to get around.
Okay. And are there other mobility tools that you provide or recommend?
Yeah, that's a great question. So orientation mobility training is not just limited to the white cane. There's several other tools that we can use. For example, if someone is visually impaired and has additional disabilities such as arthritis, neuropathy, stroke, there's different things that we can use, like quad canes, which have the little feet at the bottom, a support cane. Those types of things can also serve as identification because they are white with red, just like the typical long white cane. And there's also mobility aids such as flashlights. For someone who's visually impaired, lighting can make every difference in the world. So using a flashlight to see room numbers if you're at a hotel, using a light to get to the restroom at night, using night lights, using sticky lights, using LED flashlights, using clip-on lights. Flashlights are very, very helpful for someone who's visually impaired. In addition, there's low vision devices that can help with navigation, that can help with magnification. There's talking GPS, there's different apps. There's mobility devices such as a smart cane that actually are electronic canes, and they detect things that are in front of you. They have a sonar in them and they go off as you're approaching them. So those different technology pieces are definitely becoming more helpful in today's world.
And talk about fall prevention. Obviously, increasing independence is a huge part of orientation and mobility skills and very, very important. But keeping safe and preventing falls is probably the most important. So talk to me a little bit about fall prevention.
Yeah, so fall prevention is a new piece of orientation mobility training that we've incorporated. As you mentioned, falls are more likely to happen with older individuals, and then you throw a vision impairment into it, and it definitely increases the risk. Studies show that 1 in 4 people over the age of 65 have a fall at some point in their life. And we want to really address that concern and make people as safe as possible, but while maintaining the utmost independence that they can. So different fall prevention techniques that the Lighthouse offers is we can provide reflective tape that provides contrast for steps. We can provide slip-resistant tape that we can apply to steps. We cover a different handout and guide that shows techniques to use, like avoiding throw rugs, using contrasted colors, adding handrails, grab bars, just doing different things that can really make a difference in safety in the home and out in the environment. So things like that can be really helpful. Using sunglasses when you're outside, using ramps, rails when you can, those things seem to be pretty helpful.
So here at San Antonio Lighthouse for the Blind, we do serve those in San Antonio and all of the surrounding counties. So if you are listening from that area, you can give us a call at 210-531-1547, or you can get more information on our website, salighthouse.org. If you're outside of that area, check with your local Division of Blind Services to get connected with an orientation and mobility provider near you. We spoke a little bit earlier about when someone first gets connected with services with us, the first thing that we do is a phone assessment. What are some of the things that you ask in an assessment?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Shirley. So through the assessment, we're trying to learn as much as possible. Essentially, it's an informal interview, just trying to learn ocular history, any disabilities, goals, concerns, challenges, we're trying to learn as much as we can about the individual so that way we can tailor a plan that best works and is suitable for the individual. Usually referrals can come in from yourself if you decide you're interested. They can come from social workers, they can come from ophthalmologists, primary care physicians. And just to mention, we do cover about 80 miles, 85 miles outside of San Antonio. So if you're in Fredericksburg, Kerrville, New Braunfels, San Marcos, don't think you're too far for us. We certainly do the assessment over the phone and again in person. But we also go out to the home and do that training there. So it's definitely a possibility. Don't rule us out just because you feel you're too far. We want to get out there and serve as much as a community as we can and really try to make a difference.
So here at San Antonio Lighthouse, we do offer several different services that we are adapting now to be virtual and through phone calls as well as in person, if someone is comfortable with that. We offer our independent living skills training, and we do a separate assessment to see what activities of daily living people are having difficulties with regard to their vision. That will help us identify items that will be beneficial to them. And in our current climate, we are mailing those items out to the home and then following up with a virtual visit or phone call to provide the training instead of going to the home. We are also offering our counseling service now virtually as well. We do partner with licensed counselors, and they will also spend between 3 and 5 separate one-hour visits with you, discussing coping skills and strategies to help you go forward in a positive manner and help you deal with your vision loss and any struggles or frustrations you're having regarding that. Of course, the orientation and mobility service that we've been discussing. We also have our diabetic education program. Individuals with diabetes and visual limitations often have difficulty with those glucometers. They're not easy to see, so we can provide talking glucometers and also provide training on different topics related to diabetes education. And our final service is our low vision clinic. And a low vision clinic evaluation is important and can help with the orientation and mobility side.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, Shirley. That's a great point you bring up. And I just want to mention all those are fabulous services and really do help out with the vision loss process. In regards to a low vision exam, I think it's something that many people don't know of. A low vision exam is an exam conducted by a low vision specialist. And in that exam, it's about 1.5 to 2 hours. It's a very thorough exam, but they're looking at everything from acuities to visual fields, colors. They just want to see what's going on with the visual system and see what we can do to best help. Through that vision report, someone like myself, a certified orientation mobility specialist, can really work off that and see what exactly the causes of vision loss are, what's going on with the vision loss, what to focus on, and how we can definitely tailor the training and techniques to the individual that we're working with. The low vision specialist also works with the certified low vision therapist, which can prescribe low vision devices and different telescopes, binoculars, prisms, things that can help someone maybe see a bit better, and just make things a little bit easier. So the goal of the low vision exam is to maximize the remaining vision that they have by seeing if there's any devices that can definitely allow the individual to see just a bit better. Sometimes just that extra little piece of equipment can make all the difference in the world. For example, something like a magnifier can allow someone to read again, or a CCTV can allow someone to check their mail again, or using different colored shades can allow someone to cut the glare out and just see a little bit better and not be so bothered by the sunlight. So there are different techniques and different tools that the low vision specialist and the low vision therapist can recommend. And then together we can collaborate and work together to make the best plan possible for the individual who is struggling with vision loss.
So there are definitely lots of different resources available, and it all works together. You need to be mobile and retain your independence, so there's that facet of the training. And then there's the activities of daily living, like managing your medication and your finances, that you can have either different techniques that you can be trained on or different devices that could be recommended for you. So it all really ties together. I very much recommend getting all of the different types of training, because they will help you be more well-rounded, and it really increases your confidence and feeds that ability to want to try and tackle new things and use new devices. So definitely take advantage of all of the different services that are available to you. You can reach out to us at 210-531-1547. And also, that website is salighthouse.org. You can easily get into contact with any of our programs that way. If you have any questions, please let us know. Reach out to us and we'll do our best to answer them. Again, the goal of everything that we're doing is to increase independence and increase your self-confidence, so that you are wanting to build on those skills and learn more and keep on being as independent as you possibly can. So we thank you very much for listening, and we thank Renee for joining us and spending time and giving us his expertise on orientation and mobility.
And just real quick, Shirley, I just want to add, don't think that because you're in the early stages of vision loss that you can't receive our services. I firmly believe in early intervention and preparation. If you have a progressive disease, eye disease, that is only going to get worse with time, getting our services early on is best, and it can really make the transition a little bit easier for you. So I encourage you, reach out, even if you have the slightest eye condition, such as cataracts or astigmatism. There's certain things that we can do. Even just a large print calendar can make a difference, large print items. But early intervention is key, and I highly recommend that you seek our assistance, even if you're interested in seeing what we can do, how we can do, or if you qualify for our services.
That's a great point, because if you still have remaining usable vision, it's going to be easier for you to learn these skills, and you're learning it when you're not maybe feeling as overwhelmed and really don't have any vision left to use at all, and you're trying to adjust as well as learn. So that's a great point. Learning things as early as you can is definitely going to make a good difference to you. So we very much encourage you, if you do need the assistance or even just have some questions, please reach out to us. We thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening to our orientation and mobility interview. This program will be replayed this evening starting at 9 p.m. If you have any questions or comments, you may call the station at 210-829-4223. This is Shirley Crandall and Renee Perez saying goodbye from OWL Radio.